heard a pastor talk about and a theologian say that prior to Christ, that it very well could have been a billion animals slaughtered, sacrificed to cover the sins for the Jews. Solomon alone sacrificed 100,000 lambs for the dedication of the temple. But none of that blood was sufficient to wash away. But Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, once and for all, his blood washed it away, made you pure and white as snow. That's why you accept him. So when God looks upon you, he sees you with blood-drenched eyes, and he sees you perfect, spotless, blameless because of Jesus' blood. That cross, that image, just in the men's study yesterday, I mean, just a taste of just taking a look at that picture, my Savior bloodied, crucified. Listening to me, anytime I can have communion with him, I can speak to him, and he speaks back to me. This has nothing to do with the sermon. I'm just talking from the heart right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for praise and worship this morning. Continue to change hearts in this church. Help them to understand the importance of giving you glory, to put aside their selfish desires and plans, to surrender their life to you, to put aside childish things. Use me, Father, right now. Let your Holy Spirit flow through me, speak through my lips as you spoke to me last night. In Jesus' holy name, amen. I've been talking for quite some time about getting into spiritual warfare. And I think the sermons that we've gone through, the series of being steadfast till the end, and being strong and courageous, are all just a culmination to lead up to this point. I titled this series, "This is War." We are at war, church. And you got drafted to that war when you gave your life to Christ. And so I want you to remember, don't forget the sermons we've been talking about. The being steadfast. I sent an email last night to my wife, my mom, Jessica, just talking about, just remembering. I remember my dad saying, "I love my Savior more." And Satan wants to deceive you, and he wants you back. We must remain steadfast till the end, till we either stand before our Maker because we've breathed our last breath here, or he returns. Do not waver. That is the charge to you. The opening text, and it will be the opening text until we finish the series, and I don't know when. I spent 3.5 hours going through stuff last night, and I just started cracking the surface, so... And I'm sure you all know some of these scriptures, but it is Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 18, and we used chapter 6, 10 last week. And it is, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Just in those scriptures alone, steadfastness comes up. Strength and courage are there. We are at war, church. That is a serious passage. That verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are at war. And Ephesians 6 demonstrates that war, the battles that occur daily as a Christian. We are at war with Satan, who wants you back. You were of the world, now you are of Christ. In warfare, battles are fought. They're fought on different fronts for different reasons, different degrees of intensity. And that same is true in spiritual warfare. Our spiritual battles and warfare are real. It is real. Every day people are attacked. And though we cannot physically see the attacker, we need to be prepared. We need to educate ourselves to understand how the battles are fought, how these battles impact our life on a daily basis. On a daily basis. You must remember to pray for one another. Some of you are in different battles. Some are more intense than others. Before we even get into the enemy, I think we need to first understand that there is a physical realm of the world which we can see. It's tangible. I can touch, right? However, there is a spiritual realm that we cannot see. Jesus said, that is born of the flesh is of the flesh. That is born of the spirit is of the spirit. So we need to understand that there is a spiritual realm. For some of you, you may not understand this fully, that you need to understand there is a spiritual realm. So let's look at some scriptures just to set the foundation. And that's probably all we're going to get through today, is just to set the foundation that there is really a true spiritual realm that we live in. So turn over to Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. I'm just going to go through a couple of examples of scripture. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all things that are in, the sea and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worship thee. The host. He's talking about an angelic host. The coming of our Messiah when he was born in a manger in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. That's not just a Christmas song and example. That was the coming of the Savior of the world, and the angelic hosts were saying, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. That's the goal. We won't have peace until he returns. Amen. When he sets his kingdom up. The kingdom of God. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 16, it says, who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. What does it say here? That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created for him, by him and for him. So we see examples just in there, and there's many more, and I'm not going to read through every single one, but those are clear examples of things that we don't see here on earth. Where there's an angelic host, there is also evil. There is a host. We will get into that. You see, as Christians, it took faith to believe in Jesus Christ. We can't see him, but we believe that he died on the cross for our sins. We believe that God raised him from the dead, and we believe that he alone is our source for eternal salvation. He alone. The cross and what he did at that cross. Without his action, the cross means nothing. It's a piece of wood. It's faith that confirms that to our heart. We sing that, here's my heart. Just as we need faith to understand the spiritual realm. Those battles exist daily there. And the Bible is filled with references where we can have actually a little insight into the heavenly realm. It actually is revealed to certain individuals, which is awesome. Let's go through some of those examples. If you guys turn over, and this is pretty awesome, but turn over to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 11 through 17. And I'll set the stage for you. The king of Syria is he's getting upset with Elijah. He can't stand Elijah. He can't stand what he's been doing. And so he decides to attack him. And so let's read it in verse 11. It says, "Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he his horses and his chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God," this is the servant of Elijah, "was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots." So he's surrounded. He's surrounded by this king's army. "And his servant said unto Elijah, Alas, my master, what shall we do? What shall we do? We're surrounded." And Elijah says, "Fear not." Be strong and courageous in the Lord. Be strong in the power of his might. I'm just reminding you of this. Here's another example of a courageous man, Elijah. "And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." His servant, he's talking about his servant, that his servant may see, because Elisha already saw. "And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah." The heavenly host, the army. Do you remember when we were reading about Joshua? Do you remember when he was kneeling down and the man stood above him? The captain of the host. The captain of the host. You are never alone. When you seek the Lord, his army fights the battles. We are to stand. That's what that scripture says. Stand, therefore. So the Lord opened the eyes of Elijah and the servant to see the host of his heavenly army. We will see that army someday, because when that trumpet sounds, he's going to be returning. And we will be that heavenly host coming back. Our conquering king on a white charger. So he can actually see the spiritual warfare going around him. What a visual. What a visual. Wow. Now turn over to Daniel chapter 10. And in verse 7, we'll pick it up there. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. So we see here that Daniel's actually given a vision, which is awesome. The prophet Joel says that young men will dream dreams, old men will see visions, or maybe I got that back, reversed. And that, by the way, just a sidebar, that is happening in third world countries. We were talking about that yesterday. In Muslim countries, Jesus, and this is on the Voice of Martyrs, I think Steve said there's even a podcast of it, Jesus is appearing to Muslims in their sleep, in their dreams, and people are turning away from the Muslim religion to serve him who paid it all. And they give it all up. Just like Matthew gave it away, he said, I followed him right away. They are giving up everything. Their family turns their back on them, or they lead their family to Christ. Some will, some won't. But how awesome for Jesus. What a privilege for that person to see their master, their Savior, appear before them. Almost like Paul. Saul at the time. How cool. So Daniel alone sees the vision in verse 7. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. Wow. The vision alone depleted his strength. Just wiped him out. Is it Isaiah where he stands before, he sees a glimpse of the throne room of God. And he says, I am done. I am undone. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of the words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. He actually had to look down. He couldn't even look upon it. And behold, the hand touched me, which set upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand. What did he say there? He set thy heart to understand. Your heart. Again, I'm speaking to your heart. And to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But here, this is interesting. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. So he came to bring a message, but he was actually withheld for 21 days. God dispatched him. What do you think was happening those 21 days? You think the train was just late? No. There is battle. There was a battle going on. And what happened? Michael. Who's Michael? He's the archangel. Yes. Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the king of Persia. Now I come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. He has actually given the vision, and we're not going to go into prophetic prophecy here, but the book of Daniel is full of awesome prophecy of the time to come. Daniel 70 weeks. It's really awesome. I was struck when I was reading this passage when he's talking about, like, I saw the hand that touched me, and I remember my dad. Do you remember the vision he had? And he was hanging on a chain. And as he was trying to climb the chain, as there was fire just rising up from underneath him, he would climb this chain. And he saw this beautiful hand holding this chain. And he just felt like, if I could reach that beautiful hand, I will be safe. I will be okay. And then just as he would get near to reach for the hand, another hand, a hideous hand, would come in and pour oil on that chain, and he would just slip down and hang. So he'd climb back up again, this oiled chain, trying to reach again for the hand, reaching out, and all of a sudden this hideous hand came back again and poured the oil. And as he hung down on the one last link of that chain, he's just hanging there, and he cries out, "My God, my God, help me." And he heard, he said, God said, "My hand is not that beautiful hand holding that chain. My hand is that hideous hand with the nail scars pouring the oil on that chain. I want you to let go. I want you to let go." And that's, I heard that when I was 5 years old, when he told that story. And that has just stuck with me. And so I just thought about that. I thought about when he saw the hand that touched him. It just brought that back to my forefront. The hand that touched him. I wonder if that hand was the hand, but maybe prior to the nail scars. But I wanted to share that with you, because he shared that a few times with other people, and it was just such a touching story, just a visual, you know, of just the hand that was nailed for you and I on that cross. And he wanted him to surrender, to let go. But back to where we were, the vision. He got a vision of the angel. So only Daniel saw the angel standing before him, as everyone else felt the terror and fled from the scene. And Daniel was granted access to hear and speak in the spiritual realm as he communicated with an angel. The angel who was held up by a demon, I assume, the prince of Persia. Maybe it was the devil himself. Maybe it was a host. Who knows? Those two scriptures we just went through, that set right there, represents two different scenarios of activity that took place in the invisible realm around us. But God allowed these men to bridge the gap between the physical realm and the spiritual realm, to actually see. So we know that there is a spiritual realm. There are invisible and unseen forces that are actually real in our life. If we believe that Jesus Christ conquered the works of the devil at the cross to set us free, there are forces, angelic and demonic, that are actively working around us. There's evil that we fight in our spiritual warfare. Jesus told us to pray, "Thy will be done." He gave us that example, as he did. You don't think there was a spiritual attack going on in that garden? Intense. He bled droplets of blood out of his tears. Immense spiritual attack. What do you think happened in the wilderness? The gates of hell will not prevail against us, nor accomplish and overpower him. But we hit opposition, and that's what that Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, again, let's go back to it, just opening again. Verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So we need to understand that there is a spiritual realm. Once we understand that, now we can start to understand the enemy that is out there, the enemy that is attacking us, the battlefield which you and I are fighting at on a daily basis. And what we're going to go into are the three enemies that we face, and we continue to front. We will confront these enemies until the day we either breathe our last breath and stand before him and are glorified, or he returns. And those three things are going to be the flesh, the devil, and the world. Those are the three. We're going to go into depth on those, each one individually, and then we're going to learn what it means to the rest of Ephesians in there, the armor of God, how to stand, how to fight as Christians, as soldiers of the cross, soldiers of Christ. So you guys understand, I just wanted to set the foundation today. I know some of you have plans for Father's Day, but I wanted to set the foundation that you understand that there is a spiritual realm and where we're going. I'm excited. I already have a ton of notes already to go into those three, but it just, I mean, it's been overwhelming actually going through all the notes and everything, and I have even a hard time articulating some of the things. So I just pray for me that the Holy Spirit just continue to strengthen me and equip me to speak His word, because I think this is important in the time in which we live. I really do believe times are speeding up. I do believe the Lord's return is imminent. It is imminent. We are heading down such a road of immorality in this country. There's no reprieve. It's just constant. It's constant. But as for you, you remain steadfast. You remain in the Word of God. He will direct your path. He will be a lamp under your feet. He will direct you when you are unsure. You cry out to Him. You seek Him with all your heart. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer as we close up. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. I thank You, Lord. I thank You for helping me get through that and to lay the foundation, Father. Continue to work through me. Be with this church body as they go out, that they be a light unto the world, unto their workplace. There are so many that are lost and searching for answers. Help us to point them to You, the one true answer, nothing that the world has to offer. Help us to cling to the cross. I'm reminded, nothing in my hands do I bring. Simply to the cross do I cling. Help me to cling to that cross daily. Help me to crucify my flesh. Forgive us this past week if we missed the mark, if we were not obedient. Strengthen us. Encourage us, Father. Help us to be bold until we see each other again on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.